good people, and welcome to another edition of Packers in Law. I am your host, Jake the Packer Veteran. Andy is not able to join me today. That guy's real busy these days, working on some stuff this weekend. But he will be back for sure. Don't worry about that. It's a shame he's not here, though, for a number of reasons. But mostly of which today is because it's the 50th episode of Packers in Law. That's right, 5-0. Didn't think this was going to get this far, or never really thought about this podcast getting this far. This is something that Andy and I just started doing for fun. So to see us actually do 50 episodes and stick with it this long, sort of impressive. Anyway, enough with the self-congratulating. So in this episode, we'll obviously talk about the game against the Bills. We'll go over the NFC North, and we'll talk about the next Packers game against Detroit. So to start with the Buffalo Bills game, was anybody else kind of let down by that? I know in the podcast we talked about, oh, look what they did to the Vikings. They came out of nowhere, really put a smackdown on a Super Bowl contender, you know, on the road. And then they come out against the Packers, who, again, weaker roster than the Vikings overall, I would say, and just laid an egg. I mean, they made the Packers defense, the much maligned Packers defense, look really good. Two interceptions for the Packers, seven sacks, which we talked about the game against Washington. No sacks in that game for Green Bay. Seven sacks this week, big turnaround. And I don't know what happened. The Bills, whatever they did last week, did not carry over to this week, obviously. Let's bring it down here. So obviously the defense owned the day for the Packers with the seven sacks, the two turnovers. Josh Allen was 16 of 33 for only 153 yards. Packers only allowed 58 yards on the ground. Nobody had more than four catches. It was a very good showing for the defense. And again, it is Buffalo, even with what they did against the Vikings. Not an elite offensive squad. You know, they don't have blue chips, as they say, at the quarterback, receiver, or running back positions. So maybe not impressive, but the Packers have had a propensity in the past to play down to opponents at times. And you could even say they did that last week against, or the week before, against Washington. So it was at least nice to see them come out and play this kind of game against a team that they should play like that against. That was a little wordy, but my point is, this is probably how this game should have gone, and the fact that it actually went that way in reality is a good thing. So defense owned the day. The offense was not amazing, but they did enough. Only 6 points in the second half, and only two touchdowns. There's been a lot of talk this week about Aaron Rodgers' post-game press conference, where he took some not-so-subtle shots at Mike McCarthy's play calling, and really just showed his overall disgust of the offensive performance. And now there's been tons of pieces about how, oh, there's a rift there, and, you know, maybe they aren't getting along and all these other things. I mean, yeah, it's not great to read that kind of thing and wonder what the state of the team is. I'm personally not too worried about it yet. I mean, the Packers, I mean, granted, they're 2-1-1. They have a winning record. I think Rodgers was just showing his concern that against most other teams in the league, the way they play on offense would not be good enough. And he's probably right. I mean, if they play the Vikings, if they play the Rams, who we'll see later this year, you play the Patriots, you play any of the other upper echelon teams, the way they play an offense wouldn't get it done. But luckily, you know, if you're going to have an off day, nice to have it against a team like Buffalo. So I'm not too worried about that yet. I think Rodgers said later that him and McCarthy have a great relationship. And, you know, who knows if he's just saying that or if that's actually true. I don't have any insider information about how that dynamic works. But don't get high blood pressure over this, Packer fans. I think it'll be fine. As long as the offense continues to perform. As long as they improve from here, I guess I should say. Nothing to worry about. So, talking about the Bills again, they basically reverted to their pre-Vikings game form. You know, week one they got crushed by the Ravens. Week two they got pretty summarily handled by the Chargers. They didn't really do anything well today. Like I said, two interceptions for Josh Allen, no touchdowns. Nobody really had a big game receiving. Kelvin Benjamin, who I noted because of his size might be a matchup problem for the Packer defense, one catch for 34 yards. Now, granted, that was on a third down. It was a pretty big catch, but that was all he did. LeSean McCoy, who I said might be a problem for Green Bay, five carries for 24 yards, three catches for 13 yards. Not a big impact on this game. Now, I did mention the seven sacks the Packers had. Three were by linebacker slash edge rusher slash whatever you want to call him, Kyler Fackrell, who I think a lot of fans have considered to be a bust in his few years in Green Bay so far. And I know, again, it came against the Bills, but allow me to use a basketball analogy. I played basketball every year in high school. you know, when things are going well, when your shot's not hitting, you know, they tell you to try to go in and get a layup or get an easy shot just to see the ball go in the basket. And then maybe that'll extend out to you. Once you see that, you get more confidence, you start to play better in the future. So I'm going to liken that to Fackrell's situation. Yeah, maybe he hasn't played the best, but having three sacks, I mean, again, granted against Buffalo, but hey, a layup is no big deal either. But still, you tackled the quarterback for a loss three times. You had a couple of their nice tackles. Maybe this gives him confidence going forward. Maybe he plays better. Again, I can't predict the future, but this isn't a bad thing for him going forward. And maybe he'll, you know, start to play with a little more gusto since he, you know, he put that stat out there against the NFL team. If they're a really bad NFL team, they're still an NFL team. It's still nice to see him do that. I tweeted out that it was nice to see him make a contribution to the defense instead of just getting, you know, handled by one-on-one pass rushers. For unsung hero this week, I'm going to point to Kenny Clark. Now, Kenny Clark, despite the fact that he plays on the defensive line, did not have any of the seven sacks the Packers had. However, the Packers were credited with 4.5 quarterback pressures in this game, and Kenny Clark was given 2.5 of those. So, more than half of the pressures on the team. And I went back and watched the game tape on NFL Game Pass, and he was constantly commanding double teams, being pretty stout. There were a couple plays that he got pushed backwards, but for the most part, very stout. There were even times where he was being double teamed, broke through the double team, and then there was a third guy waiting for him. So basically, he was eating up blockers, allowing more one-on-one matchups on the edge. Obviously, I think Fackrell was an obvious beneficiary of that. And so, yeah, I think he played a game that does not really show up on the stat sheet. Only 2 tackles, 1 solo, no tackles for loss, no sacks, as I said before. But without him, I don't know if the Packers had those 7 sacks in this game. So that's why Kenny Clark is this week's unsung hero. And other than that, I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot to talk about. Aaron Jones looked good again. 11 carries for 65 yards, average of 5.9 yards a carry. Davante Adams had another good game, 8 catches for 81 yards. You know, Rodgers, 22 of 40 for 298 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. That was not really his fault. That one's kind of tricky to place blame on. It wasn't like it was a clean catch. It was tipped by a Bills linebacker and then tipped again by Jimmy Graham and then caught. So maybe you can give 50-50, you know, half to Rodgers, half to Graham. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. But he was, you know, he was fine. I'm sure that was also one of the reasons he was upset, because he had 18 incompletions and only 1 touchdown and a pick. So I would expect Rodgers to have, you know, he always has that chip on his shoulder for any number of reasons. I think he will try to carry that over this week against the Lions. But before we talk about the Lions, let's quickly go through the rest of the NFC North and our NFC North watch. And Andy's not here to give us his jazzy little sound effect, so I won't try to recreate that. That's his thing. But let's start with the Vikings. We actually already kind of talked about what the Vikings did last week since we recorded the episode so late in the week. They lost to the Rams 38-31. Very entertaining game. Probably one of the better Thursday night football games I've seen in terms of, I mean, you could say it was a really bad defense, which, sure. But it was very entertaining. It wasn't like, you know, some of those games that seem like happen where it's a blowout, like it's 41-3 or it's like, you know, 10-7 or something really low-key. But anyway, Vikings lost that game to the Rams, who, I mean, let's be honest, they're the best team in the league right now. Their defense is pretty good. Even if the Vikings tore them up, their offense is incredibly dynamic and explosive. Packers, of course, will see them coming up here in about 3 or 4 weeks. So that'll be interesting. But the Vikings dropped to 1-2-1 on the young season, and they will play at Philadelphia this Sunday. Going back to the scene of the crime, if you will, the place where they were beat 38-7 in the NFC Championship game 1 year ago. Let's move on to the Bears. They played Tampa Bay this week at home, and they won 48-10. I tweeted about this game at halftime. The Bears were up, I think, 35-3 at halftime of this game. Mitchell Trubisky played by far the best game of his career, threw 6 touchdowns. I know in the preseason I said that he, last year as a rookie, he did not have a game where he threw more than 1 touchdown pass. Well, that's not the case anymore, folks. He threw 6, which I believe is the most, I think that's Aaron Rodgers' career high in a game as well, 6 touchdowns, which ironically enough was against the Bears in 2014, I believe. So they looked really good. The defense again, Khalil Mack, this is where Andy would be going crazy about how he didn't sign Khalil Mack. It does seem, you know, looking at what his impact, sure, it would be nice to have him on the team. But again, we don't know anything behind the scenes. Again, I told you those 2 tweets that Randall Cobb and Davante Adams sent out. It sounded like the Packers did made a pretty strong push to get Mac, and he just ended up signing with the Bears. Again, I don't know, you know, where that shift happened, but it would be nice to have him on the team is what I'm getting at. He's had a strip sack fumble in every game so far this year, the first four games. Probably the defensive player of the year so far, and it's not even close. So anyway, the Bears won that game 48-10 over the Bucks. Fitzmagic is over. They're starting Jameis Winston again. So easy time there for the Bears. And they have a bye this week, so they got to be feeling pretty good. 3-1 atop the NFC North. I don't think anybody predicted that would be the case, even at this early point in the season. And then lastly, we'll talk about the Lions. After getting their first win of the season against the Patriots of all teams, they went on the road and played the Cowboys. And it seemed like that game was pretty back and forth, though they were winning for a lot of it. And then ended up losing on a last-second field goal, 26-24. So they dropped to 1-3, and they will, of course, be at home against our very own Green Bay Packers this week. So let's talk about Detroit. So I was looking up the stats for Detroit. I did notice that, so the all-time series, the Packers lead the all-time series with Detroit, 100 wins, 70 losses, and 7 ties. This team was tied 7 times. None of those have happened in my lifetime. Those were all pre, you know, mid-80s. But I just thought that was interesting. 7 ties. Who knew? So Detroit in general, offensively, they're pretty good. They're 11th in yards per game. They're only 24th in points per game, though, at 23.5 points per game. And then defensively, this is where it gets even kind of weirder for them. So in terms of pass defense, they're 2nd overall in yards per game allowed through the air. They only allow 171 yards per game passing. They're dead last in run defense in that same statistic. All these are yards per game, by the way, and points per game. But so for yards per game, it's 157.8 is what Detroit's giving up. That is a lot. And it's the worst mark in the NFL by far through four games. And then in terms of points per game, they are giving up 28.5 points per game. So overall, they're ranked 8th in defense overall in terms of yards per game. But they're the only team in the top 10 that gives up an average of more than 20 points per game. And the next closest team is actually the Packers, who give up 20.8 points per game. So they are not only are they giving up a lot of yards, or they're giving up, you know, top 10 in terms of yards, but points is much worse than anybody else on the top 10. Probably a pretty good indication. Usually when you give up more points than you score, you don't win a whole lot of games, which is why they're 1-3. I think the biggest storyline going into this game, besides the apparent Rodgers-McCarthy feud, which, again, I don't think it's something to be too worried about, is injuries. I mean, there are so many injuries on both sides of the ball in this game. So for the Packers, they've already declared Randall Cobb is out with a hamstring. And you look at who's questionable for this game. Devontae Adams hurt his calf in practice on Wednesday. Jaire Alexander has a groin injury. Adoree' Allison has both a hamstring and a concussion injury. Newly signed cornerback Bashaud Breeland also has a hamstring injury. Kentrell Bryce, ankle. Guards Lucas Patrick and Justin McCray both have injuries, so back and a shoulder respectively. And then Jermaine Whitehead, who had one of the sacks this week and looked pretty good coming off the edge, also has a back injury. I mean, yikes, that's a lot. So we're for sure without one of our top two receivers. Might be without Geronimo or Devontae. Not having, you know, our starting strong safety Kentrell Bryce and Jaire Alexander, who had his first pick last week, and, you know, I think generally has played pretty well overall, and, you know, I think would have been the perfect antidote to match up against Golden Tate. Might not play either. And groin injuries, especially for cornerbacks, those are rough. I mean, I don't remember 3 years ago when, or I guess it was 2 years ago, when Quinn Rollins was dealing with a groin injury, and he never really recovered from that. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Jaire, but those injuries are tough to deal with, especially if you're trying to be, you know, quick and fast and mobile. The Lions also have a ton of injuries as well. Ezekiel Ansah, their pass rusher, he is out with a shoulder. Former Packers guard TJ Lang will not play in this game with a concussion. The Lions actually have a lot of secondary injuries as well. Defensive back Quandre Diggs, cornerback Nevin Lawson, defensive back Tracy Walker, safety Tavon Wilson. All those people are questionable. And again, so that means we don't know if they're going to play or not, but I feel like secondary depth is going to be an issue for both teams in this game. And even with the Lions having the second best pass defense in the league, you know, if they have all these injuries and the Packers do too, this game could turn into a shootout. You know, Packers actually, so Lions are 8th overall in defense. Packers are actually 6th. Again, of course, in terms of yards per game. Even with that said, I feel like this game has the potential to just, there could be points all over the place, especially when you factor in that the Lions also have the league's worst run defense. And so I think if there was a week, besides Buffalo, of course, if there was a week for the Packers to have to play with potentially without their top three receivers, this would be the week. Playing the team, even on the road, but playing the team with the worst run defense, I think this is going to be Aaron Jones' time to shine. I mean, he had 11 carries, same number as Jamal Williams last week. Even if they don't give Aaron Jones all the carries, which honestly, I think he should be the lead back at this point. I mean, he seems like the most talented guy. I've said this a million times. I know you're all sick of hearing it probably. Achieve balance. Run the ball. You know, I don't know how much trust Rodgers has in Equanimeous St. Brown and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Jamon Moore, however you say his name. You know, he did call them out in the preseason for not really putting together, you know, a good practice that one time. And obviously he might be one of the guys he really trusts. I mean, Jimmy Graham is off the injury report, and it seems like they're starting to kind of get things going. He caught his first touchdown last week, so that's good. You know, maybe he has to step up and be basically the number one option if Adams and Allison can't play. So, but I think establishing the run early and often is going to be obviously very important. And, you know, and maybe if they are starting their, if because of the injuries in the secondary, if Detroit's starting, you know, guys who were third, fourth, fifth string players, I think Rodgers is basically going to have to tell the rookies, you know, whoever gets that matchup, that he's going to try to find them. You know, I think Rodgers, even if he doesn't necessarily trust these guys that much, obviously he doesn't trust any of the rookies as much as someone like Cobb or Devontae or even Geronimo. But he just might have to. I mean, this game just might dictate that he has to do that. He has to, you know, put that aside and just kind of help the rookies along as best he can. But again, I think that's why the run game is going to be important, so that the rookie wide receivers don't feel like they have to carry that all by themselves. Like I said, Jimmy Graham is going to be massively important in this game. He only had 3 catches last week for 21 yards, did have that touchdown. I think he could, you know, potentially be a huge factor in this game, especially if Devontae and Geronimo don't play. And again, we just don't know at this point. We won't know until later in the week. It might even be a game time decision. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, even with that said, even with all the injuries, I still feel like the Packers have a good chance to win. So for a prediction, you know, I always say division games are tough. You know, no matter what's going on this season, division games, you can usually expect to be pretty close contests, especially recently, it seems like. And the Packers have not always played well in Detroit. I was thinking back this morning to the game they played there in 2014 when, you know, they were coming off their win against the Jets. And I think they only scored 1 touchdown. It was a really low-scoring game. The offense looked bad. And, of course, that was the game after which Rodgers did his famous relax comment on his Milwaukee radio show. So they don't have a great history in Detroit. You know, they won the Hail Mary game there after looking awful, like playing maybe one of the worst halves of football I've ever seen the Packers play. You know, again, it's a division foe. You know who these guys are. You know, Matt Stafford's really good. But even with all that said, I think the Packers can still win this game. Again, if the run game gets established, and I mean, they should be able to establish the run game. Through 4 games, you're going to have 157 yards. You're not a good run defense. Aaron Jones has looked really good. Jamal Williams has looked not as good, but still pretty good, I think. Feed those two guys, you know, get the run going, get the play action going. You know, if some of these cornerbacks are indeed out for the game, maybe get them biting on play action, get them confused. And, you know, I think that they should win. One guy I will say, as I said, you know, I thought Jaire Alexander would have been a good matchup for Golden Tate if he is playing. Again, he has that groin injury, so who knows. He is the kind of guy who has driven the Packers defense nuts in recent years. He is a guy who, you know, does a lot of quick screens, wide receiver screens, kind of, you know, slant over the middle. He can go deep, but that's not really his game. That's more of Marvin Jones, who actually is also questionable for this game with an ankle. But the Packers, it seems like the last, 7-8 years, they've had a really tough time guarding those quick wide receiver screens, and that's kind of Golden Tate's go-to bread and butter play. So definitely need to keep an eye on him. Also need to keep an eye on their rookie running back, Kerryon Johnson. Became the first Lions player to rush for 100 yards in a game since Reggie Bush against the Packers on Thanksgiving Day 2013. So 5 years ago, so obviously the guy's got some talent. Don't want to let him, you know, break free and start destroying the defense. But anyway, roundabout way of saying, my prediction for this game, I think the Packers do win. Again, I think Rodgers has his chip on his shoulder because of how the way the offense played against Buffalo. I think that they come out and they try to put up points. I think this game is going to be high scoring, and I am kind of assuming that a lot of those players who are questionable won't play, or at least won't be 100%. And again, I think it's going to be close. I think the Lions think the Packers are their biggest rival, so they usually get up to play these games. But I think the Packers will win 30-27, so very high scoring. But I think that's the way it could go. Even with the Packers shorthanded at receiver, if the Lions also have injuries in the secondary, it could be a big day for everybody on the offensive side of the ball. So that's going to do it for our episode this week, folks. Of course, if you're interested in learning more about Packers and Law or hearing more episodes or, you know, wondering more about the Packers in general, you can always go to packtothefuture.com. That's where you'll find every past and current episode of Packers and Law, including this episode you're listening to right now. We started this in the 2016 season, so you can go back all the way to that year if you're so inclined. But there's other stuff there, too. There's other podcasts, there's other articles, analysis, fantasy advice, pretty much anything you can think of relating to the Packers. You name it, it's probably there. Great little website. It's all a bunch of fans who do this for fun, like Andy and I do. So check them out. Of course, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Packers and Law. Again, I will be live tweeting the game tomorrow, as I often do. Hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week.